We stand within the hall of memory. The book of the soul is given into our hand, and the book, Gavin, is a metaphor. It represents all the incarnations which your soul has experienced since it first entered into the physical level of existence, many, many thousands and thousands of years ago. Now the book, as we see it, is closed. Shortly we will open the book, and that will provide a communication with the soul about what the soul's purposes are in this incarnation. But for the present, we hold the book and we are able to discern the emblems on the cover. And the cover of the book represents the qualities that are unique to the soul. And every soul has a uniqueness that in time will, if it's developed, will create a unique individuality within the being. But even from its earliest expressions, your soul has a fabric to it, if I can use that word, that is completely unique in the human race. And this is expressed on the Book of the Soul by three qualities. First of all, the cover. And the cover of the book is light rose radiating out into reds and deeper reds. And the light rose represents that the psychic faculty of the soul is well developed and will be expressed from life to life. And it means that in this incarnation, for example, you will be an intuitive individual. You'll be sensitive to your environment. You will want to express yourself, or the soul will long to express itself in artistic ways. And if these avenues are denied, then the soul experiences frustration and blockage. It's the colour, the soul with this colour has vision within it and has the possibility of developing that vision into insight into spirit, the spiritual worlds, for the sake of self and also for the sake of others. The deeper reds at the corner of the cover indicates that the soul has to grapple with physical expression when it comes into incarnation, and from incarnation to incarnation, for example, there are struggles with sexuality and with the need to define and regulate, is that the right word? Perhaps the word focus would be better. Bring relationships into focus so that you are not following the natural tendency of these colours, which is to give yourself completely to another person and not hold anything back for self, to open your boundaries and allow others to invade those boundaries. And one of the lessons, I think, in this incarnation is the need to set boundaries with other people, boundaries with any sort of relationship, whether that be mental, intellectual, conceptual, spiritual, sexual, any sort of relationship with others. It's very important that you are able to set boundaries and say certain concepts, ideas, understandings may come inside because they represent truth, but other concepts, understandings, individuals, they must remain outside because they're not bringing truth towards me. So that one of the purposes of this incarnation also is to achieve a balance in which the soul is able to operate in terms of truth. And it's a very tricky operation at this particular point in time. We will probably see the light rose red expressing itself within the aura or in later incarnations. Now, the second feature of the Book of the Soul is that it bears on the cover a title. And the title is The Light Bearer. And the third feature is that there is a symbol on the cover, and the symbol is the symbol of the planet Venus. Now, what this indicates is that the soul is feminine. Venus is the symbol of the feminine. And therefore the soul, your soul in particular, strives to express femininity from life to life. And so therefore, when the soul's in a male body, there is a greater conflict, inner blockages arise, than when the soul incarnates in a female body. But the old name for Venus amongst the Greeks, and then later on amongst the Romans, was the light bearer, Phos Phor in ancient Greek, Luciferus or Lucifer in Latin. And it was called the light bearer because the planet Venus brought the light from the sun. Now that's a very powerful symbolism. And it indicates to me that this quality of bringing light into the world is going to be what the soul strives to express from incarnation to incarnation. We will probably see examples of how this has happened as we proceed. We will open the Book of the Soul. It opens to the current incarnation, and here the soul communicates with us. On the right hand side, it creates a picture for us so that we can communicate in terms of color and imagery. And on the left hand side, the soul has created a little verse, and sometimes the verses that the soul creates are quite enigmatic, but I don't think you'll find much of an enigma in this one. On the right hand side are the colours. The soul depicts itself in the colours of the aura. Now, the colours of the aura are quite unusual, they're not a very unusual combination. The first colour is green, and the second colour is orange. That's an interesting combination. Were the colours reversed, you might find that you were a scientist or someone who studied how to work with living beings, with biology, botany, genetics. In a sort of a scientific way, but because the colours are the other way around, it actually makes it much more difficult to work with. It means that you probably find it hard to fit into the world of our Western cultural materialistic outlook. You have a bit of the hermit in you, a bit of the sage. There's an energy within the green that wants to retreat and perhaps live in a forest or live in a place where you're surrounded by nature. And to be quite honest, if you have green strong, we would suggest that you have lots of nature within your life, because the first colour is to do with the etheric body, which is the body of physical vitality, and indicates that you can have a lot of energy, but it's a bit like the energy of the plant world, not so much the energy of the animal kingdom. And the energy of the plant world is very creative, but it is at times that the pressures of life and life expectancies and demands and other people's expectations, society's expectations, can be too heavy at times. And just as a tree, if it's caught in enough wind, will actually break, or a boughs will break. You have to be careful to yield and not to try and resist, because the energies within you, especially the energies that run up the spine, are very susceptible to, I think I'll call them societal pressures, work pressures. I'm not sure how you are with your back, but I would have wouldn't be at all surprised if you've had really bad back problems in the last couple of years or so, and that may well have caused you to make changes in your occupation, especially if it was an occupation where you had a lot of physical work to do, where you had to move things physically or lift things. The incarnation that the green originated in is very, very ancient. It occurred in the what we call the Lemurian period, where human beings or souls had more of a plant body than an animal body. The animal body came later in evolution. But at this time, certain souls descended first into incarnation. And your soul descended because it wanted to experience the thrill of physical existence. And you, as a being, I actually have not got words to describe what happens in spirit here, but if you can imagine that as a being, you're standing before an entity that radiates power and light, and you could call this other being this feminine being, but you could call her a plant goddess, or a goddess of the plant world, if you like. And you established a connection with this particular power, this spiritual power, at that time. And that means that from incarnation to incarnation, you'll be drawn at some stage within the incarnation to reconnecting with that power. And even though you've made connections with other spiritual power in the intervening millennia, nevertheless, the connection with that being tends to frame your spiritual understanding and your spiritual energies within each incarnation. And sometimes that means that you retire from the world. For example, in the 14th century, you had an incarnation in Tibet, actually in the mountainous regions, where you were in a male body there, and you were a yogi. You practiced meditation constantly on your own. You sitting in front of a cave, looking out over the mountains and the valleys. And because you developed your meditation to a great degree, you developed certain spiritual faculties as well, and that let you communicate with the, what will we call them, the elemental spiritual beings, the beings of the mountains, the beings of the forests, and the beings of the wood. And you were able to communicate with them, and you were able to direct them at times, so that the local people would come to you if they had problems with one of the local deities, and you would be able to ask that deity not to to live in harmony with the people. And perhaps this sounds very, very strange in a Western context. In this incarnation, if you are drawn too much into the physical world, the world of vocation, the world of career, if you make that your focus, it'll be backbreaking for you. I think I'd put it like that. There is an incredible caring, nurturing side to you, which is associated with the green. And interestingly enough, also connection in previous lives with water. You were, I think, in the 19th century, the 18th century, you were a sailor on an English ship, and on one of your voyages, you sailed with James Cook. You were present on the beach when he was killed by the natives, and you assisted to take his body back. Body back from the tribe that killed him. Now, that's really interesting, because the curiosity and the love of adventure that was in the soul then, when you had the incarnation as a sailor, still remains within you. You're not afraid to explore. You're not afraid to travel to new experiences. I'm not sure that you're going to do a lot of traveling in this incarnation, by the way. Even though you've got green as a first colour, which often makes someone very restless and want to travel and want to move around. Not so much to go and live in a different country, but certainly to explore and to travel to other lands. interesting here too that you had an incarnation in Egypt. This would be about 2,500 years before Christ, so give or take 1,000 years, I think. Here we see you again in a male body, working on the building of the pyramids on the Giza Plateau. You're a middle level workman, that is, you act as a foreman and you direct a work crew. Your work crew was known as the Red Crew, or the Reds, and you were in competition with all the other crews, which was at times immense fun. And you in that incarnation, you loved building. You loved creating some monuments with your hands, and with you worked with chisels. I think that the very large chisels. You helped shape stone. You helped move things. Interesting that you died there in an accident when the galley or the passageway that you were working in collapsed on you, and you died. Your back broke, and you died in the darkness and agony. So, once again, I would be careful of the back. Treat it well. Look after it. Don't put it under too much strain. You need your back. And you need your back because you need the back supports and acts as a channel for the spiritual energies within you as they start to move and start to energize. The orange. Well, the orange is a very interesting colour also. Orange is the colour of the philosopher. When you put orange and green together, you can go two ways. You can have the person who is very critical and very analytical about their thinking and about what they allow to take up mental abode as their ideas and their opinions and their understandings of the world. You can get someone who's very critical and very skeptical, I think is the word. Or it can go the other way around. And I don't think there's a happy medium here. The green can dominate. If the orange dominates, that gives you the critical faculty very strongly. If the green dominates, then it's the opposite. Then it's you have to be careful. I've already indicated this. You have to be careful about what ideas and understandings that come and take up residence within you. And you have to learn to exercise a critical faculty. If you have orange as dominating, then you need to learn to relax the critical faculty and allow the intuition to work with much greater strength. Incarnation in France, I think, in about the 16th century, might be the 15th century, can't tell from this. But here you're in a female body. You are in a French convent you're a nun. And I can see you there working with something like an abacus, doing accounts and writing things in ledgers, so that in that incarnation, you with something like a bookkeeper, had a title actually, the lady, not lady treasurer, lady bursar, the lady, something like that, and there was an interesting incarnation because you, although you were, you had a mystical nature, and that's why you went into the convent, there was a very observant Mother Superior who decided that you needed your feet kept on the ground, and so she assigned you, she taught, made sure that you learned to read and to do numbers, which not all women were able to do in those days, and then she put you to work keeping, doing things like stock taking and doing inventory and keeping track of the money that came in, the donations and the expenses. So you're sort of like the accountant of the convent. And that represents, in a strange way, the combination of the orange and the green. That the green has a deep need to reconnect with the natural world. Not necessarily with the spiritual worlds, that's a different colour, but with the natural worlds. And so, in that incarnation, your soul needed to work, needed to become more grounded, needed to become more critically aware, needed to develop some of those thinking faculties. The orange that we see originated also a long time ago in the culture of Atlantis, where you were, as we see, you a king, but also a priest, and associated there with the sun temple. And it's interesting because in that incarnation, although you were as the king, you were connected to the temple of the sun, you were attracted also to the temple of Venus, which is to do, or was to do and still is to do, with sexuality and relationships and interpersonal dynamics, if you like, put that very well. But you had sex in that incarnation with the priestess of the Venus temple, which was forbidden because you were not supposed to have a connection, have a sexual connection outside your own stream. And so because of that, the soul was separated from the sun stream for many thousands of years. And when the Christ came into incarnation, you were also in incarnation, but you were on the edge of the crowd. So you were there when Christ was preaching on the shore of the Lake of Galilee and got into a boat and preached from there. You were at the back of the crowd and you couldn't really hear what's going on. And you were also present at the what the way the Bible records the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, the five feeding of the 5,000, and you were at the edge of the crowd there, so that something drew you, but something stopped you having that connection. I think that the question about the career, first of all, needs to be looked at in two ways. There is a difference between a career and a job. A job is what we do to earn money, to feed ourselves, to pay our rent. And we may be very good at our job, we may earn lots and lots of money from our job, but it's something we do. We get up in the morning, we go to it, it's a routine. We may enjoy it to some extent, but it doesn't light a fire within us. But we need a job. We need to sustain ourselves on a daily basis. And sometimes it doesn't really matter what job we take. We take whatever we can get sometimes to keep us going so that we can work at our career. Now, a career used to be called a vocation. And a vocation is not something that you do to earn money. If you're lucky, you may earn money from your vocation. You may find yourself in a career where you're able to be expressive and creative and dynamic and produce great things, in which case you're fortunate. But it's quite unusual that most of us are in that position. So when you ask about a career, I will interpret that as vocation and not necessarily as a job. You know, in terms of work, of course, we are often attracted to jobs that have a connection with a career. But they don't necessarily coincide. Now, the greens and the oranges in your aura, to me, they indicate a healer. And the green is a strong healing energy. It indicates someone with the reserves of compassion and caring so that they can assist and uplift other souls. And this can be done in so many ways. I mean, you can work as a carer in an aged care facility, for example. You can work as a nurse. You can work as an assistant in a school. You can work as a volunteer where you're helping kids with disabilities. This is the nurturing part. And if you end up having a family, then you'll find that a tremendous amount of this flows into your children and caring for them and parenting them. The orange says that you're an idealist. So you want to work you want to put your energies into something where you're creative, where you are building something, not necessarily with your hands, but with your thinking, where you're directing, constructing, innovating, making something new in the world. Sometimes people with the orange end up writing or talking as a career, using the gifts of communication, and I haven't named it yet, but you have yellow-brown in the head, which is pretty good for sort of thinking things out. I must describe the other colours before we go on. The third colour in the aura is light rose, as indicated in the cover of the Book of the Soul. There are browns around the hands and the feet, which is a good indication. If you've got browns around the hands, you can build things. You can do things in a practical way. You can create life. You can work with plants. You can grow things. And, of course, the greens indicate an affinity with life. So it indicates that you should be able to work with plants, with in a farming role perhaps, though I don't think so, because I think that farming has become too technical as an expression of that life energy these days. Before I go on, I will say that there's another expression of the green which I haven't mentioned so far, and that is music. Mm. That often people with green have a great sense of rhythm, and if you combine that with a light rose, well, better if it was a light red, but with a light rose, it's the ability to be melodic. So I would encourage you to sing, to sing with others if you can. Sing around the home if you can't. If you don't already play a musical instrument, take up a musical instrument. If you already play a musical instrument, play it more. And if you start working more and more with the musical energies within you, then you will find that the energies which are blocked at present, and you've mentioned that, yes, definitely there are blocks there. And the block is in the centers in the head. We'll come back to that in just a moment. So, as I've said, I'll finish with the colours. But the third colour, the light rose, browns around the hand and feet. Browns around the feet are good also, because it indicates that you can be very practical in working out your direction in life. You're not going to fluff around. You're going to grab the bull by the horns. You're going to be very down to earth when it comes to that. You can live in the clouds in your head, but your feet are still planted firmly on the ground, which is excellent. It's what we need. Then from the shoulders, purples. The purple is the colour of the mediator, so that indicates that if you work with this colour, you will be the sort of person who counsels, who listens, who understands, who replays, who reflects, so that this opens up other possibilities in terms of career. It's the therapist, not so much the doctor, but the counselor, the therapist, psychologist, these are sociologists, people who work assisting other souls to integrate and to understand their life. That's the mediator. And a mediator can become something as simple as and as strong as a salesman, salesperson, someone who works in retail. They can be a mediator too, especially if they are assisting a customer with their real needs. I think, though, it's not so relevant perhaps in our time, but in the old days, when organized religion was still strong, it would have been the colour of the priest, because the priest was the mediator between God and man, or the gods and human beings. And here the priest would communicate on the one hand with the divine, and on the other hand interpret and translate and put in terms that others could understand for the people that came to them. You had an incarnation in France in the 19th century, a male body here, and somewhere, and I'm not sure of the direction, somewhere towards Spain, so I'm not sure if that's south of France, but towards the region of Catalonia. In the Pyrenees, you had a very small parish in quite a remote village. Had an affair with a housekeeper there, by the way, which didn't go down too well with the bishop, who ended up removing you as the priest of that place, and you sort of spent the rest of your life doing quite menial jobs as a retired priest. So, indicates to me that there is a connection between your spirituality and your sexuality. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you'll need to sort of resolve and sort out, which will happen quite naturally in the next few years. By the way, your next few years, don't get too happy in any one situation or resign to a particular job, because there are a lot of changes coming up. In fact, you should have been through some quite dramatic changes in the last couple of years. You should have a lighter time coming up in the 24-25 though. But there's a new energy entering in, and it's to do with needing to be more and more an individual, more and more wanting and needing to express who you really are and what it is you really need to do in this life. There are blockages within the spiritual centers, and that's not unusual. Almost every human being has got blockages in the spiritual centers. By the time you get to 40, most of the centers should have opened naturally. So there are two things that need to happen here. First of all, you need to look after your back, and one of the things that's happened, if you've had back problems in the past couple of years, that's an indication energy needs to flow up the central channel in the spine. And then it needs to come up into the head. But then it needs to come down the front. And it's at times it reaches up into the head, and then we'll call it the third eye center, the brow center, opens up. But that is a sporadic thing, because there is an energy within the brow center that needs to be integrated. And the brow center looks, again, very hard to find words for this, but it's got, as it were, it's feathered. And that indicates here an incarnation in South America. In, I think, the 17th century, where you were a shaman or a priest, I'm not quite sure of the term, but you were initiated into the mysteries, the southern mysteries, in that incarnation. And so your spiritual vision was opened, and you could perceive the deities, the spiritual energies in the landscape and what was evolving. Now, the thing is that that initiation is very old. Might only be a few hundred years old for you, but the power of that initiation is thousands of years old. And so it needs to be renewed in this incarnation. It needs to be renewed with those spiritual energies that are part of current human evolution. Because it's quite different to the energies of Atlantis, the energies of Egypt, let alone the energies of Lemuria. Everything goes in cycles. And so, yes, I would totally agree with you that you need to go somewhere spiritually. And I am going to recommend the course that we provide for people, especially the first level, and you'll find more information when we post the reading to you, and Melody will give you some guidance on that as well. But you need to bring your spirituality into the 21st century, and that's very difficult. It requires a lot of work. It's not the sort of work that you might think. It's not sitting and meditating and focusing on the third eye and chanting Om for hours on end. It's nothing like that. It's much more to do with developing inner sight. And when inner sight develops, then spiritual sight is a natural, inevitable consequence. The vortex. The vortex is blue. Different shades of blue that are shifting and twisting. And blue is spirit. And spirit is trying really hard to communicate with you at present. Because in the end, the purpose of your incarnation is to allow, is to become filled again with spirit and transform your life as you know it at present. But human beings, what we are, you've been able to keep this at bay quite successfully for the last few years, but spirit is knocking on the door very strongly. And I think that you will experience that this breakthrough, and I think it will be a breakthrough, not something slow and subtle, but something sudden, like indeed like a knock on the door. This will be the third time the door's been knocked on in your life. And when that comes, embrace the spiritual experience that comes to you. Embrace it and then release it. Blue is the color of the universe. It's the color of the infinite. It cannot be controlled and constrained. You have to allow this new spiritual energy to work within you and to open that third center properly, and then to direct the energies down the channel at the front and complete the circuit. And when you can do that, then all the blockages will be removed.
Do you have influencing?
Influencing colours above the head, light red, and below the feet, yellows. Well, light red is the colour of life, and it indicates to me, because influencing colours are gifts from the cosmos, and they don't necessarily, they're not part of the aura at the moment, but they may become part of the aura in time. to come. But here the light red indicates a new energy, physical and emotional, sexual even, but a new energy entering into consciousness, and a spirit of pioneering, a spirit of getting out there and doing things, wanting to get involved with life. Really, it's a really good energy. And when it, as it descends upon you very subtly, you should feel more energized over the next 4 to 7 years. Below the feet, there are yellows. And yellow is the thinking, the mental understanding. And if it's below the feet, it may indicate that you are going to undertake studies that will work with the mind in the next 3 to 4, 5 years. And it's good to work with the thinking and the mental levels in this time. There are symbols in the aura. The symbol on the left, standing beside your left foot, is a black dog. Black bulldog, actually. And that's an energy from the past. And this is a depressive energy. It wants to bring you down. It barks at you, so to speak. It attacks your self-confidence. It's an energy that's saying that you're not good enough. Now, just give that one the boot. You don't need that one. You need to replace that with a much more powerful, dominating energy. The symbol in the front is a person carrying a cross on their back, and I suspect this is the symbol ahead of you is what you're looking at the moment, and I think that you are experiencing tremendous responsibility in life, and that's because the soul is concluding the karmic era within the life. Although one could say that everything that happens in life is karma, the soul has declared before incarnation that it will undertake to rebalance certain karma, and it will do that between the age of 30 and the age of 50, about 20 years. So that you are probably, as you get near the age of 49, which is the end of karma in that sense, sometimes it's a tremendous effort to move those last 7 to 9 years. But when you get to the age of 42, you will have an insight, almost I would call it a mystical insight. That's when the mystical element, the mystical capacity can awaken. And then the next 7 years, you'll be able to say, oh, I know where this is going. And then at the end of that 7 years, you will feel as though this weight has been lifted off your shoulders. And there's a second meaning, by the way, for that image. And that is that in that life when you were in the first century in Palestine and you stood at the back and you listened to the voice of Christ and you saw him on three occasions. First was on the shore of the Lake of Galilee, the second was the feeding of 5,000 on the mountain, but the third was on the way to the crucifixion. Ah, well, that explains something. You were in a female body in that incarnation. That's why one of the reasons you were always at the back. Because the men, of course, were at the front. And the women had to go to the back where they could look after the men. But there you are. You were in a female body, woman, and you went with the disciples, the other women who were followers of Christ. You went and you were pushed to the front, and you saw him carry the cross and fall under the cross in front of you. And in that instant, he looked at you, and there was a different connection made. In that instant, you were forgiven. You were forgiven for the leaving the Temple of the Sun in Atlantis, and all your karma was for a moment held in abeyance, held to be null and void. Now, this is in this incarnation, you have an opportunity to reconnect with that power, the power of the sun, but it's going to be difficult. There will be much asked of you for that reconnection to take place. But the symbol on the right-hand side of the aura, which is the future, shows you entering a rose garden. And that means two things. First of all, it means an integration with the feminine aspect of self. And the feminine aspect of self is the soul. And that's only when we become open to the soul, open to the messages, open to the special dreams, open to the inspirations, open sometimes the images that float before us. They are the communications from the soul. But the rose garden has actually another meaning, and that, because the rose is the symbol of Christ, it means that once again you may be able to enter the temple of the sun, which is the temple of Christ. But that's a journey that has to be undertaken, and one might say it's an aspiration at this stage, but nevertheless it's certainly an available outcome to this incarnation. The verse on the left-hand side, I shall read very quickly. It's called, the title is The Light Bearer, which, if you will recall, is the name on the Book of the Soul as well. And when the soul uses that name, it means that this is a crucial incarnation, that this is an opportunity in this life to reconnect with the original purposes, the original path, if you like, of the soul. And the first line of the verse says, to bear the light. And the second line says, to share the light. And the third line reads, to be the light. And that is, they are profound purposes, because to bear the light means to bring a certain consciousness into incarnation so that the memory levels will open up, and yes, you will indeed remember previous incarnations, and much more, because you've brought that extra light within you. But the purpose, that's only the first purpose. Obviously you have to bring the light with you. But the second purpose of this incarnation that you should be entering into in the next 10, 15 years is to share the light. And that means that if you are able to undertake the tasks that the soul, the individuality actually, places in front of you, then you will be a teacher. And you will share the light through teaching and through healing, through the voice, through comforting, through encouraging, through nurturing, through caring. Sometimes we don't have to say anything. Sometimes it just takes a touch. Sometimes it just takes a presence. And then the third purpose, the final purpose of this incarnation, to be the light. And that means that one brings a certain amount of light in them, with them. But at the end of this incarnation, and not many people achieve this, but it's a possibility, Gavin, that you may well be one of those rare individuals who becomes a real individual. And that means undivided. That means living from the reality of self, from the I am, from the Buddha nature, from the Christ self, whatever name you like to give it, the real self. And when we reach that level, that destination, then the purpose of our incarnation is complete. It doesn't mean that you've finished all your incarnations, alas, far from it. But it means that you will be able to start a new cycle of incarnations with a new purpose, and you would come into incarnation then as a messenger, as an envoy of the gods of evolution that shape the future destiny of humanity. The symbol of the Overself hovers about 5 or 6 inches above the head, and the symbol of the Overself is a communication from the real self, and it shows itself as an image. And you're sitting on a little scooter, like the old Vespas, motor scooter, but it's not on the ground. It's sitting in the air. It's on a sort of a pole holding it off the air. And you are pedaling furiously, but of course you're not getting anywhere. You're staying where you are. And above your head is a rising sun. It's just peeping over a horizon. Now what that means is that don't keep repeating the same actions in life over and over again. They're not going to take you anywhere. And I think your intuition is already telling you this. You've got to get off that Vespa scooter, that motor scooter, put your feet on the ground and move forward. Now the sun rising above the head is an indication that the real consciousness, the I am, is starting to emerge. And it emerges through casting light on the path. Focus on where you're going. Focus on the light that you have within you, because it's your own light that lightens the path. Allow yourself in the years to come to be the sharer of light. connect with the souls that will be brought to you. Help them with their loads, with their burdens. Help them to understand that they also are spiritual beings, and that they also have a reality, a part in the reality that is beyond this one. And if you can be that light bearer, that light sharer, and that light being, then you will have fulfilled a mighty task given to very few. So shall it be.